football on Off the Ball.
There is no template for success in a big tournament. Some teams start well, finish well. Other teams start dreadfully and finish very, very well. There is no template. In this particular case, though, it couldn't have gone much better than it did last night for England.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Sunday Paper Review on Off the Ball.
Sunday Paper Review on Off the Ball. It is the 21st of June 2026 and the sun is high in the sky in every regard. Delighted to say that we are joined in studio for the Sunday Paper Review today by the former Ireland international turned coach and pundit Fiona Hayes. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, Adrian.
And the former Dublin goalkeeper Ciara Trant. How are you, Ciara?
I'm great.
You've added a new title to your introduction there, Fiona.
Yes.
Go on.
I'm coaching Connacht for the summer.
Brilliant.
So a new role, yeah. Obviously, I've coached down in Munster for a while, but Connacht kind of, we're looking for someone to get involved and it's a new challenge. So I'm looking forward to it. The Interpros will be on in August. So we're going hard all summer.
Mm. What sort of access do you get players and...
Yeah, so this is really good. So this is the first time where all the Ireland girls have been released to play Interpros. The girls in England that haven't made the PWR finals have been asked to play as well. So it's going to be probably the highest standard of rugby at that Interpro level we've seen in a long time. So yeah, so we've been trying to do a bit of scouting around the place. I won't say anything yet, but I think Leinster have a lot of players. So we're just, we're trying to make it competitive, girls that mightn't get game time and stuff. So it's interesting to see. It's kind of moving in the direction now of where you only played kind of with your province if you're from your province. Now you're thinking, I want to be seen to play for Ireland. So it's good for players to move around, be it Munster getting a couple of players as well, or Ulster, make it way more competitive because Leinster obviously have all the contracted girls. So it's going to be a very good Interpros, I hope.
Full programme of Interpros across August. That's the plan.
That's the way it is, yeah. So it's the three games and then one plays two and two, or three plays four in a final day. So it's been a while since Connacht have got into that 1-2 final. So we'd be hoping that we could do it this year.
Yeah, we'll have the right woman at the helm for it anyway. Dexcom, are you playing Dexcom?
Yeah, right. So all right. Dexcom, yeah, it'd be announced, and Virgin Media Park. So all the provinces have kind of Aphidia as well up in Ulster. They've all kind of gone out, and this year is finals day is actually on Dexcom. It's Connacht's turn to host.
So you'll have home advantage.
That's what we hope. That's what we hope.
Brilliant. Well, like you said, watch this space. I'm sure plenty more on that. And on, let's tell you what's happening across the front pages of the back pages. We'll start with the Sunday Independent. Joe Brawley, it's impossible to mark the Kerry Maradona, and needless to say, it's a picture of David Clifford that accompanies the Kerry Maradona. He certainly was that yesterday and has been for quite some time. We'll get into that in a few moments time. Paul Kimmage writes about a familiar face in the crowd at the US Open. He's bumped into Damian McGrain. And then down beneath, Rory O'Connor, Ireland woe as Doris and O'Brien ruled out. Leinster's URC victory comes at a cost to Farrell's tour plans. Again, more on that and on. It's David Clifford pretty much across the board, by the way, as the spoiler alert on this. Statement of intent, says the Sunday Times. Clifford masterclass drives Kerry to crushing win over rivals Armagh. And it's Clifford after celebrating. I'm pretty sure that was the first goal that he got. Unbelievable ball from Gainey, and away he went. More on that in a few seconds. Peter Riley writes on the rugby. Doris and O'Brien ruled out of Ireland's summer fixtures. The Mail on Sunday. It's Clifford again. Clifford leads a Kerry dance. Classy champs, the team to beat, says Shane McGrath here. Also more on the two lads been under the tour. And then there's stuff in it that I don't really want to know. Offaly's Brian Dagnan on why he won't read his dad Michael's book just yet. It's a really nice conversation between father and son with Philip Lanigan inside. The people slay Jude. Bellingham promises, I'll give it everything in three lines bid for World Cup glory. It's the people. The Sun has Clifford again, sour and the glory. Geezer's bitter end as Clifford runs riot again. That is the Sun for you. And the Mirror, Kerry Gold. That's the best one there.
Yeah, I love it.
Armagh put the sword as Clifford shines for Kingdom in Kerry. Jude, I'll go the extra mile for England. So that is what's happening across the back pages. We might start with the Gaelic football. Ciara, it's been an amazing year for, Shocks number one, but also... It was only a couple of weeks ago, I remember sitting in this chair going, well, it's Donegal are going to win this thing and it's kind of indisputable. And now I feel that I can apply that to Kerry just as easily.
Yeah, I think one week you're thinking, oh yeah, any team can do this now. And then the following week you're like, oh no, they've completely lost all their form. You've Donegal and Dublin today. you know, some people are, you know, kind of written the Dubs off all year, but people are kind of backing them a little bit to maybe give a surprise, because Donegal have lost their form, you know, to see them end the league on such a high. Everyone backing Kerry to win everything, and Donegal come up in the league final, put on a display, and now have had a very poor championship. And it's very entertaining, and I'm loving absolutely every second of it.
Isn't it brilliant? If it was all just free to air too, no, we won't. Hold off on that one for a minute. Joe Brawley gets into it in the Sunday Independent. I read the headline earlier just in relation to David Clifford. Inside it says, "Truth, justice and Kerry way, thanks to their Superman." He talks about Armagh utterly dominated the first quarter yesterday. Kerry were tense and hesitant, looking like a group riddled with doubt after their two Donegal thrashings. There was that bit, which I'd forgotten by the end of the game, given how dominant they were, but there was that bit over the opening 10, 15 minutes where you kind of thought, geez, not that the game was going to get away from them, but that Armagh looked way more impressive.
Yeah, and I suppose Armagh would have kind of worked on a fast start, and we have to arrive here in Killarney, we have to show up, you know, we can't let the game get away from us, and they definitely got after that, and it's what you wanted, you know, to build up the atmosphere. You wanted nearly Armagh making the trek down, having a good start, you know, bring the game to Kerry, but then, you know, Ganey's pass, like Clifford didn't even make this massive run, he didn't even point. Ganey just looked up, Clifford took one step to the right, Ganey slipped the ball through, and I think that was Clifford's first touch of the game. And what a sickener for Armagh. Because obviously, you know, Clifford needs to be stopped. And, you know, you're thinking, that's my job. I'm appointed marking Clifford. And all week you're watching tapes on Clifford and you know him inside out. And then his first touch of the ball without doing anything spectacular, just one step and slots it as cool as anything.
The angle of Dylan Ganey's body as he clipped the ball back inside was, I don't know how many times I've rewatched that clip in the last 24 hours.
But how many times has he done that though? And even Paddy outside just feeding a sneaky diagonal ball through the defence last couple of years. It's like you can't stop it. You can do whatever you want. You can practice all you want, but just creativity and flair and spark like that, you know, you can't stop. And that's what we want to see. You know, that's football, like that's the highlights reel. But it was class.
Are you still looking at that through Ethan Rafferty's eyes and watching all this unfold in front of him, or?
Oh, what can you do? You know, there's an element of that. Like, you know, Rafferty did everything and Clifford stepped around him, you know? You know, and maybe anybody else would have just, you know, they're true on goal, let's pull the trigger and put their boot through it, head down. But Clifford's just so classy, you know, and everyone needs to be training that, like, one-on-one with the goalkeeper, go around them. Like,
that's what you do.
You know, Rafferty couldn't do anything. You know,
he was dragging out of his arm, and that was the reason that the ball obviously had hit the ground. And he has to improvise and half drop kick it from a very tight angle.
No, it's you can't stop that.
So the advice to keepers is stay big, keep with, don't go to ground.
Like when you're that close, you're just trying to hope that some part of your body's in the way.
Yeah,
you know, but I think
it's hard.
Say, like, you just have to commit to one decision. You know, if you don't commit to anything, you're left standing there and you do nothing, you look like a bigger fool. So, you know, it's like penalties.
Yeah,
you know, pick a side and go with it and hope for the best, you know.
And he had a player coming back, I think, nearly.
Yeah, on the line behind him,
He writes about Clifford here, and like, listen, I kept a very close eye on him in the All-Ireland last year, and just the movement, exceptional. Like, you know, you see the TV stuff gives you a good picture of it, but when you're actually at it.
Yeah, you have to be up high. You know, bird's eye view of him. And last year he came out a lot. Like, you know, I know we have the two pointers now, but he came out onto the 45 a lot when he wasn't getting ball. Sometimes to, you know, drag a defender out with him, you know, create space for others. But, like, he can do from anywhere on the pitch.
The thing that I noticed mostly that day, and Brawley gets into it here, is how much of a conductor of the orchestra he is. Like, he's pointing players, and
he
talks about it. He says he kicked an outrageous two-pointer 5 minutes later, and then literally talked Jason Foley through a score. As Foley passed the ball to him, David could be heard on the mic shouting, keep coming, go left. He then dummied as though to shoot before giving a delightful hand pass over the top to his fullback, telling him to cut inside, then fist it over, which is precisely what Foley did. Isn't that just...
It's playing PlayStation.
Like, not only on his own scores, but telling everybody else.
When you're that good, I think you get away with that as well. Like, you know what I mean? There's such respect for him. What a game he had yesterday as well.
What are you supposed to do with him?
Stand back and admire. Oh, you can't. Like, fair play to someone that keeps him scoreless, if that's ever possible. But no, he's just magic.
We had Pat Ryan, the now former Cork hurling manager, on with us a few weeks ago, and he was talking about watching Aaron Gillan, and he said at one point in the conversation, he just said, like, I at some point, whether I should be saying this or not, stood back admiring, you know, the view that I was able to get of this guy. That's Clifford as well, isn't it?
It's just those athletes that when they're not on a team, you can just see a clear difference, you know, and certainly with Gillan, with Limerick, you could definitely see that. But Clifford is just, I think with the new laws as well, as you said, coming out more, creating that space, he's just, you can really see the talent. I think the last time we were in there, was he doing a clothing brand or something? We were chatting about that. I feel like a lot of the time when in here, it's the David Clifford.
The Clifford Show.
Well, but what a guy. What a guy. Yeah, what a player.
Obviously Meath Mayo yesterday as well, we should touch on. And like these are the games, obviously, that creates diamonds. Certainly, again, one point in the game where you're thinking, God, Meath are really going to, you know, run away with this, 10 minutes to go, the player gets sent off. I'm not sure was that exactly the reason, but I'm sure it fed into it. But Mayo kicked for home, and
I think Mayo were already rallying at that stage. The comeback was already on, and the red card for me didn't help. I was actually watching the Dublin Clare hurling match, and I checked my phone and I saw the score, and I changed the channel quick. Meter beat Mayo. This is brilliant. And I don't know, what did I bring bad luck? Like, I shouldn't be rooting for Meath now, but
no, exactly,
as a dub. But I was rooting for them yesterday, and very disappointing for them. But like, Mayo are class. You know, they completely controlled the game. They played lovely football defensively, very, very sound. And they looked, they just looked like they brought their game to the match, if that makes sense, in the second half. Like, they looked in complete control, even though they might have been 10 points down. Like, they were calm and cool. And, you know, like, there's always question marks about a Mayo team, but I think that showed class, and that will stand to them now. I wouldn't like to be playing Mayo in the next round.
Yeah, the tails are up, and we get to see Kobe McDonald in a Mayo shirt at least one more time.
Yeah.
What's the true picture of Meath? Like, I was going to say the highs of last year, and like, they were obviously, things came apart from the semi-final, the defeat to Westmeath, the defeat to Cork, wasn't it? Cork beat them, am I right about that? I think so, a couple of weeks ago. I'm a bit like this when it gets into the middle of the World Cup, somebody asked me what game I was watching yesterday and I can't quite remember. But two teams who you've a different picture about now, given what they went on to achieve afterwards. And then obviously the defeat yesterday. What, people were very excited about Meath last year, and they felt it was kind of year one of a growth spurt almost for them, which doesn't seem to have come off.
Well, you would have said it in the first half yesterday that Meath are back. This is the Meath we've been waiting to see all championship. But I don't know, maybe something going on there, or, you know, maybe they've just run out of energy. Like, you know, the toll a big season has on you, like last year, and even when you go back to your club and everybody's talking about it, and the weight of expectation, having to bring that spark again the following year, and teams would know them a little bit better and would respect them more this year, so that creates another challenge on top of it. But I think they flair. I like watching the play. I think they play with this kind of this freedom, and, you know, go out and enjoy yourselves. And their forwards are just, like, talk about Clifford. You know, there's a lot of creative lads there in that Meath team, that are given the license to do what they want, and play with spark. But I know, just they looked yesterday like they'd run out of energy, and maybe that's their season. I wouldn't write them off for next year. A little bit disappointing for them, but I can't say too much as a dub at the moment.
As a Westmeath person, I'm not going to.
I'll hold my tongue today.
But a lesson maybe for Westmeath next year, regardless of what happens today. The other one, obviously, this is a big talking point of the last number of weeks, and it's really not going anywhere, although a solution for it, I'm not sure exactly what that is. Michael Foley picks it up in the Sunday Times today. Calls for an Irish sports TV channel are understandable, but most teams have little crossover appeal. So where do you sit on this one, Ciara? Like, it's the current scenario, obviously, of RTE broadcasting a number of free-to-air games, GAA Plus broadcasting a good portion of games, which are clearly on a subscriber basis. Part of the thorniness, I suppose, around it is that we had a powerhouse like Armagh been bounced out of the championship yesterday, the same for the Mayo-Meath game. It'll be the same in Clonus today. People seem to want obviously access to all of that stuff. And then there's this proposal by a Kerry County Councillor at that Oireachtas Committee during the week that there should be a free-to-air GAA TV channel. So there's two big disparate areas there. What's the, where do you think all this ends up?
Personally, I wouldn't mind paying for GAA Plus if, you know, you're guaranteed to get a match that's not on RTÉ or TG Car. I think, like, in my head, it's possibly sponsorship. Like, you've enough, there's enough money there to put up a TV camera. And to, you know, there's people out there trying to earn their stripes. Okay, give someone a chance, get them down to commentate on a match. You know, like, we can't cover every single game. But they do it at club level as well. Like, club are do loads of games that, you know, the viewership wouldn't be as high as they're going to be, you know, there would have been last week, say, Kerry Kildare. Wasn't that one of the games that wasn't shown? And was it Donegal and Cork? Was that not shown?
Yeah, correct.
You know,
that's cracking, yeah.
And maybe it's a sponsorship thing. But, you know, throw in a few sponsors that you're going to raise more money. That's going to pay for, you know, getting camera crews and a commentator or co-coms down to every match. I don't think it's going to affect attendance too much. You know, people
some
saying
of those games, Newbridge was sold out, Bally Buffet was sold out, Pearse Stadium was sold out. Yeah, so no problem there.
It's only the Dubs that can't sell out the stadium now. But, like, people, you know, people are still going to go to games or not.
Yeah.
You know, and with the condensed season, like, people's lives are busy. It's the demand on every weekend to attend the match. So I don't think, I know Jarlett Burns was saying, you know, we're a, what is it, we're a
sedentary
people.
It's sedentary, they don't want to promote.
We're a participation sport or something like that. And so built on everybody rallying together and coming together for something. But, you know, I don't see why we can't, you know, GAA Plus was the first step of it. And I think there's another step to go and create hype around all the games. And
what would that step be? Is that the clubberification of and like, you know, hang the production values because people will be happy to see, like, it doesn't need to be full production on everything.
Yeah, why not? Like, I know from ladies football, like, the games are on YouTube. If it's not on TG Car, it's on YouTube or it's streamed somewhere. Like, more often than not, you can watch the county game, a ladies football county game somewhere. So, like, yeah, I think it must be down to some sort of sponsorship or something, like, our rights and stuff like that, because the easy fix is find a way, like,
find
a solution. It's not that, doesn't seem that complicated. No. Maybe I'm ignorant, but.
No, and even with the PWR, the women's rugby in England, like, they'll have one game on BBC, I think one game on TNT, but they stream the rest. Yeah. But the standard of the streaming is really good. You know, they have a comms, a co-comms, but, like, it's a couple of cameras. I agree with you. So, like, you really, there was a couple of games this year I wanted to watch hurling that weren't on, you know, and even talking to the parents at home, something. Like, streaming can be free as well. They just need to come up with that. There's always going to be people watching from your county. Like, you know what I mean? It's such a huge sport in this country. I certainly think on the back of the football season that how good the games have been, you know, you'd like to see, even go back, be able to go back and look at those games and see what happened there rather than just reading about it.
Mm. I think part of the attraction of a TV channel is that there is, here I go with an ageist comment, but anyway, there's a cohort of the population who feel like they can't access that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we've seen plenty of people talking and writing about that, that people of a certain vintage are just not going to be able to access it, full stop.
Yeah, I had to do it for my mother yesterday. You know, it can be painful at times. But yeah, and like we've this condensed season now and sport is growing and, you know, people are watching so many different sports now. Like GAA, you know, so your stereotypical GAA fans go to know something about every other sport or whatever is popular at the time, whether it be the rugby at the weekend, the World Cup is on. The demand for covering sports is huge at the moment. But like, I think we've only one match today on RTÉ and then it's the World Cup, which, fair enough, the World Cup is huge.
140, you know, is it 140 games or 104 games of the World Cup? Everyone can show on RTÉ. But like the public service remit, like, I think the tension is that GAA Plus doesn't have a public service remit, clearly, because, but then obviously they're state funded. So how does that work? And then they're also taking what people might describe as the primary games off the public service broadcaster.
Yeah.
Like, there is a complication around that. I just wonder that if we're looking through a 2026 lens, maybe there are plans afoot and maybe there's a vision there for all this to look way different I know there's obviously a media rights package due up at the end of the championship next year. But maybe even in advance of that, there's a way to get ahead of some of this stuff that like maybe isn't going to be the solution for everybody, but would just open the door a bit. Sorry, go on.
But it's such a positive thing that people are demanding to watch the games.
Yeah.
It'd be different where if we were saying, oh, what a waste of money. You know, nobody's watching the games. The viewership is so low. We could be spending this money on something else in clubs and whatever. But the demand is there. Like, it should be something that we're buying into and is finding a solution to as quick as possible.
Well, the one thing we can say for sure is that GA Plus is not... So if one of the remits, which it clearly is about the promotion of the games, for sure GA Plus is not ticking that box in any way, shape or form.
No.
You know, like, it's not putting the games... Like, the Talton Cup from Anna Down was on. I watched it yesterday because it was on RT and I wouldn't have watched it otherwise.
Yeah.
And the same thing applies. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, when you get to the absolute end of... the ladies' football championship, the men's football championship, there are games that are worth watching clearly, so you're going to be tuned into that. But where's the public service remit and the promotion of this stuff? It feels like that might not be the primary thought. Sorry, it clearly isn't.
Does that go back to the condensed season?
Mm.
If the season was longer, would you have more time to show more games and tick that box?
You feel that's what should happen?
Absolutely, yeah. I'd love this to go back, yeah.
Like a week or two even? Or more?
Well, I don't think it will go back to September games, which I think is huge if you're talking about promotion of the games and just schools being back in and creating an atmosphere around that and promoting the games that way. But yeah, I could at least, you know, back to the end of August, you know.
Bit of breathing
minimum
space.
Yeah.
Michael Foley in his piece talks about the numbers that you touched on there. He says nearly a million people tuned in across RTE2 and the RTE player to watch England-Croatia last Wednesday night. No numbers on how many people were in Croatia jerseys while watching that game. He says the Munster Hurling Championship game between Cork and Limerick drew in around 600,000 viewers across their platforms. Phenomenal return for a GAA game outside the All-Ireland finals, but still only trotting after the World Cup. Most GAA games don't get remotely near that. So it is back to the numbers bit. But I feel like the numbers bit is less important if we're saying that, like, the clubberification of games is fine. Like, then it really doesn't matter if there's 50 or 60,000 watching a game. You know, it's not as if outside of the expense of actually putting the camera in. And, like, a lot of this stuff can be automated as well now. But I did feel for Cork fans particularly, you either went to the game and the 11-hour round trip or whatever it was, you know, or you couldn't
fly, you couldn't
watch it at all. One other point here that Michael Foley touches on, people are drawn primarily to content relating to their own county. The issue is the limited crossover appeal of other teams compared to the general interest in all things Premier League among soccer fans. How many supporters of any football team you can think of are equally engaged by the fortunes of a hurling team beyond their borders? There is that bit of, like, if Limerick are playing, Fiona, you're all over it, and then maybe beyond that.
Yeah, but I know it's like football as well, but I'd watch Kerry or, you know, the likes of Clifford, and it kind of goes back to that promotion piece around, like, if you get a lot of promotion around certain players, be it hurling, football, I think people want to watch that, like, that are not from your county. Obviously, that's the main draw, is watching, like, being from Limerick, I'll watch Limerick games. But I do feel like with the GA, the way the game's going, and, you know, it's far more exciting to watch. Even, like, hurling is even more exciting than a few years ago. It's just, it's constantly getting that. I think people now actually do want to watch good games.
Mm. Yeah, I'd agree with Fiona. Like, a Munster hurling match, doesn't matter who's playing, you know, you tune in as a neutral to watch any of them. You know, you're going to get a good game. And look at the way the football championship has gone now. It's a championship for neutrals because the all the surprises and the defeats and the games and the, you know, the underdogs winning, like, that's underdogs, you know, bread and butter. Like, that stuff. So,
The match last week, sorry to interrupt, like, I would have loved to have seen that when I saw all the stuff about it afterwards. I was like, I'd love to have seen that Cork-Donegal match, you know, so, and I wouldn't have an interest in either just by listening and reading
stuff.
But
there is that bit of, you might not even start out with the intention to watch it, but like Mayo Meath yesterday or the end of the Galway-Westmeath game last week, like, there are those games that 20 minutes to go, let me at it, like, you don't have that luxury now. Crow Park, 1994.
Are you going to bring that up? heartbreak.
Talking about access to games. Some people go to all sorts of trouble for it.
The Sunday Paper Review on Off the Ball.